This is David Perdue from MindAmps.com, Novice to Advanced Marketing System, speaking slower. And I hope that this audio is good today. I've been having some issues with our internet connection here. In fact, it cuts in and out often. So I hope that we make it through the day with this micro workshop. We have a special micro workshop today. This is an Insiders Group micro workshop. And it is on outsourcing solutions. And outsourcing, to me, has been one of the big bugaboos for me in my entire business life. It's been a real issue because I've tried a lot of different things. And it always gets me about 60-70% of what I want, but I've never really mastered it because I just am not great at it. I'm not, and I think there are some tricks that I need to learn about outsourcing. And one of the things that I'm excited about is having an expert today here in the outsourcing world to help us with getting our ducks in a row in outsourcing. This will be our challenge in the April Insiders Club Challenge. And one of the things that Travis has given us is a checklist and kind of a strategy map that we can go through. And we're going to talk a lot about that. So I have Travis Greenlee with us today from ProfitGroove.com. Travis has an outsourcing company and is going to talk to us about a lot about outsourcing. Welcome, Travis. I'm glad you're here. Appreciate you coming.
You betcha, Dave. It's an absolute pleasure to be here and to, you know, to hang out with such a group of cool people.
Well, thank you. We have a great community. I am just very proud of this community because they are action takers, and we breed that in these guys. In fact, we had kind of a discussion the other day in our Facebook group about the overwhelm just of the culture that we have at MindAmps and the Insiders Group, because we kind of make people do a lot of work, you know, and that's what we're trying to do, is help them build a bigger business and a better business by learning more about the right things to do at the right time. But I'm convinced that once we learn that, we can hand most of it off. This is one of the most important things we can do, I think. And one of the things we do in the Insiders Club is that we talk a lot about using more, learning more and then handing off a lot of what we do. And I know that I'm not good at this, and I know that some of the folks in our group really need this. So I'm assuming that you agree with me that that is the way we need to work our business, is to learn what we do and hand it off as much as possible.
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, if you actually want to enjoy your business, you know, if you want to have a business that not only produces just fantastic income and certainly makes a difference in other people's lives, but also allows you to have a life yourself, you know, without the, you know, I call it the brain damage. It's the brain damage associated with trying to do too many things yourself. And this is probably the biggest challenge that I see with the hundreds, if not thousands, of clients that we work with, is people are just trying to do too much themselves, and then, of course, becoming their own bottleneck, and then just not being as productive as they possibly can because they're trying to do things that are outside the realm of their own personal strengths. And that's just really key, is to, number one, understand what your strengths are, and then number two, to be spending as much of your time, I'd say at least 80% or more of your time, working within your strengths, you know, your God-given strengths, the things that make you feel stronger and make you feel more passionate, make you feel just, you know, excited about what you're doing. You know, when you're spending a large majority of your time doing those types of things, your business will thrive and you'll enjoy the process of building your business. Whereas if you're just trying to do too much yourself, especially all this technical stuff, you know, websites and membership sites and autoresponders and affiliate programs and traffic generation and just all the stuff that it takes to build a successful business today, if you're just, you know, if you're trying to work with outside your strengths, trying to do things that you just don't enjoy, trying to learn things that just don't make a lot of sense to you, again, it's just a really slow, painful way to build a business. So yes, outsourcing is really, really important for the growth of your business.
Especially the way we do business these days, where we can be spread all over the world, right?
Right. Yeah.
So Travis, I've got a picture of you up here on the screen. You're standing out in the middle of a lot of snow. Tell people where you are and tell people how you got so passionate about this business and why you're doing this business. You've got a heck of a story.
standing outside of my place in Steamboat Springs. So I live in a little ski town in the northwest corner of Colorado called Steamboat Springs. We're known as Ski Town USA. And it's just that it's kind of like going to the gym. I get up in the morning, go ski with the boys, go ski with my friends, come back to the desk around 9:30 or 10, get on the phones, you know, and build the business. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride. But, you know, like many of people probably listening in and joining us right now, you know, it wasn't always this way. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been through the pains. I've been certainly through the challenges in lots of respects. You know, I began my career years ago, actually about 15 years ago, with Merrill Lynch in Orange County, California. So, you know, degree in finance, degree in economics, went to work with Merrill Lynch. Spent about 5 years with them, did really well, built a book of over $100 million in assets with a partner of mine, and enjoyed a lot of it. But what began to happen was I just got burned out. You know, I mean, just the stress and just the, you know, the hours, and you can imagine, I mean, the life of a stockbroker, financial. But what I realized was that, you know, I wasn't on the right path. I wasn't on my path in terms of, you know, my passions and the things that really lit me up and fired me up. So, and this is back in the day, you know, this is early 90s when the whole home-based business boom began to, you know, begin to happen. You know, I remember specifically reading an article of a gentleman that was working from his back deck. So he had this beautiful back deck with the stream behind him and the blue sky and the white puffy clouds. And, you know, he was out there with a laptop and had his cell phone. And you can remember the cell phones back in the day, those big old clunkers. I mean, those things were 4 feet wide.
Right. I owned
but
one.
But anyway, yeah, right? You probably had one.
I did.
So I remember seeing that. I thought, you know what? Is this really possible, you know, to not have to be in an office and not to have all this stress and to be able to call our own shots and to use the internet and to be able to communicate? And remember, this is back in the 90s. I mean, this was a long time ago at the beginning of all this. And I was hooked, you know, and immediately I was like, wow, if this is, well, I'm just going to figure out a way to do it. So I did. I started learning and studying, and I saw what some of our competitors were doing. You know, Charles Schwab at the time, you know, with their trading, and they were building lists, and they were communicating with their clients through the lists. And, of course, we see where things have come. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling now that we can even be on a webinar like this and showing slides and, you know, connecting with people all around the world. It's just absolutely fantastic. So I decided to, you know, to get into the industry, started learning how to create information products and build lists and teach other people how to do the same thing. And it took off. It did really, really well. But then, unfortunately, I was blasted with cancer. Mm. I came down with stage 4 melanoma, skin cancer. You know, for those of you who've been through a health challenge or know somebody that's been through a health challenge, man, it rocks your world. I mean, in all different perspectives in terms of your values and how you want to spend your time. And, you know, back then it was, for me, it was all about success and money and achievement and more and more and more. And then what I begin to realize going through this process is, man, life is short. I mean, life is really, really short. And, you know, how do I want to spend my time for the next, you know, 2 weeks and 2 months and 2 years or 20 years, depending on how long I was, you know, blessed enough to remain on the planet. And again, that's been about 14, 15 years now. And so went through all that process and sold my book of clients, you know, got it up to the point, sold my book of clients, went through the whole cancer thing. When I moved to Colorado, where I live now, took me about 7 months, but fortunately was able to get through it. One of the biggest things that I realized, and I know, Dave, you talk a lot about this, is, you know, passive income and the importance of residual income and, you know, building a scalable business.
Right.
You know, a scalable model. And that's, of course, all about, you know, building things into your business to where it starts to earn and, be, you know, so I got really clear on, all right, I want to be able to ski every day and to travel and to do all these wonderful things while I'm still here. Yet how can I afford that without having to go out and work my ass off like I did back at Merrill Lynch? And group coaching programs and, you know, leverage, looking at different ways to scale the business to create the model to where you've got multiple streams of income in different areas that balance things out. Ski every day, we bike, we're going to Sedona for a week and a couple of weeks for our spring break. I mean, it's been a wonderful, wonderful lifestyle because of the power behind technology. And then, of course, as our topic here today is outsourcing. Yep. You know, being able to develop a team and to get people around you so that you're not doing everything yourself. The sooner that you can release that sense of control or that need for control, the better. And so that's a little bit about my background. How I got here was, you know, it really came out of desperation, like many people listening in is, you know, I was making great money with Merrill Lynch, but I was miserable because I was trying to do everything myself. And then finally learned, like, you know what, I just want to have fun. I want to enjoy my life. I want to be able to spend my time doing things I love and then be able to outsource the rest, especially things that aren't necessarily my strengths. And more importantly, the things that just give me brain damage.
All right. So I knew your story was I knew a lot of your story, and I thought people would really enjoy understanding why you got where you got with the outsourcing business, because it takes sometimes a great motivation to do what we need to do. If you don't mind, we'll get back to a lot of these questions. I see these are great questions. We're going to go into a lot of these questions. Have you talked about yet the benefits of the outsourcing, the benefits of why somebody would want to do the outsourcing, such as the leveraging others' times and those kind of things?
Started touching on it, but I can certainly jump more into it if you'd like me to share, you know, really the keys behind this. Okay. So, you know, I think, again, lots of benefits to, you know, to getting the stuff off your plate. Mainly is you're going to enjoy life so much better, so much more, because you're going to create a sense of freedom for yourself. The biggest challenge that I see with clients that we work with is they just get all caught up in trying to do everything themselves, and especially things that aren't necessarily in the realm of their own strengths. If it's their weaknesses, you know, they could spend all this time learning how to create a WordPress website, for instance. You know, they go out and they want to save money and or whatever it is. They want to control things. There's lots of reasons why people are doing, you know, too much themselves. But the bottom line is, by being able to get some of the stuff off your plate and to get yourself out of the bottleneck position. You know, the reason why so many service professionals and coaches and consultants and infopreneurs, entrepreneurs are not succeeding is because they're in their own way. They're trying to do too much. So by getting really clear about what you can outsource and what you can get off your plate, the things that you just don't enjoy, you know, it's just going to move you forward so much more quickly, because you're really going to begin to enjoy your business again. And of course, when you enjoy your business and you're happy and you're in that state, you know, you're in that state of flow on a consistent basis, you know, it's the whole law of attraction thing. You know, things begin to happen for you. Miracles begin to show up for you. You know, the right person at the right time, the opportunities begin to land in your lap. Everything begins to become much simpler and much easier when you're not trying to do everything yourself. So lots of benefits of outsourcing. And I think really the bottom line is you're just going to minimize the brain damage of trying to learn this stuff and do all this stuff yourself, because there's just so much to do these days, you know, with technology and how far it's come and the software and keeping up with it. And, man, there's a lot of stuff going on. So for you trying to do it all yourself, very difficult. When you can get it off your plate, you're going to move forward much more quickly. You're going to have free time to do the things that you want to do. You truly will have that lifestyle that we all dream of and that we all talk about, is, you know, making a significant difference in other people's lives, making an extraordinary income as a result of that. And I think for me and many of us, the most important thing is being free, you know, truly living the life on your terms and doing the things that you really want to do on a daily basis. Because as I mentioned with my story, the whole cancer thing, life is short. You know, it is really, really short and really important to make sure that we're spending our time doing the things that we really want to do. It really can be a reality if you know how to get out of your own way and begin to have a team support you in moving that business forward.
That's really good. A lot of good benefits there that you're pointing out. And some of the stuff that really stuck out at me was stop being the bottleneck. So give an example of, because this, of course, jumped out at me because I feel like I'm the bottleneck in my business, always have been.
You can relate, I can relate to that.
So talk about that a little bit and give an example of the kind of things that you see where people are really standing in their own way.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I could spend days talking about this, but I'll just give some practical, examples of things that I've been through and some of my clients have been through, but it's the simple stuff. You know, one of the big ones that we find is, for instance, building a website. You know, as we all know, we've got to have a website. If you want to go out and promote your business, you want to promote your products, you want to attract clients, you know, all of it, you've got to have a website. But what I find is, and I went through this myself, so I'm speaking from experience, right. A good learning lesson here. There's all kinds of reasons why we do this, but as an example would be, I'm very creative, like many people that are listening in, and I used to, and I'm a perfectionist, yep. So I like to have things done a certain way, whether it's the logo, just having this beautiful logo that really represents who I am, or, going and working on my website, and I just want to be able to build a website or update a website or do those types of things on my own time, on my own terms, and be able to control that kind of stuff. And really, that was my control issues that kept me in that place, because what I realized after buying the courses, the home study courses that would teach me how to build a WordPress site, and after spending 4 or 5 hours trying to go through the process and getting frustrated and literally starting to pull my hair out as a result of that, realizes, what am I doing here? What am I doing trying to do all this stuff myself and step back a little bit? We're so close to our own stuff, whether it's building a website or a logo or, syndicating videos, getting videos out there and generating traffic or all the different things that we need to do to build a business. If you're doing the things that you just shouldn't do, things that aren't within your strengths, the things where you feel like you're struggling, the things that feel like you're, wasting time, those are things that we need to step back and look at. All right, that's a bottleneck, because here's the key: we only have 24 hours in the day. I call this the marketing hat. What money hat are you wearing? This is a good one here. The money hat. When you think about when we're working throughout the day, whether it's you get up and you go to Starbucks, or you're working on a newsletter, or as I mentioned, you're working on a WordPress site or a logo or whatever it is, when you're working throughout the day, we are wearing a money hat. And so with that, what I mean is, how much money are we earning in that moment? So as an example, when I'm working on, or Dave, when you're working on your own website, we're actually wearing about, probably an $18 and maybe a $20 an hour money hat. An $18 to $20. And the reason being is because we can hire other people very simply to do that work that's going to be faster, that's going to be better. These guys are much better skilled. They actually enjoy the work, right? So it's not struggle like it is for us. So when you're doing this type of stuff, and you feel like you're being productive, the reality is the cost is absolutely astronomical, because what you're actually doing is, if you're spending an hour working on a website and wearing that $18 an hour money hat because you could pay somebody else $18 to do it quicker and better than you can do it, you can see $18 an hour versus, now let's look at the other side. There's a reason why, let's say a coach. One coach earns $100 a day, or $100 an hour, and then there's another reason why somebody can earn $5,000 a day or $1,000 an hour, right? We all have the same 24 hours in the day. The biggest difference is, how are you spending your time during the day? Are you wearing that $18 an hour money hat, or are you wearing the $1,000 an hour money hat? The $18 an hour money hat is when you're bottlenecking. You're doing things like working on websites that you just shouldn't be doing. We should be outsourcing that and getting that off your plate and letting other people do it that are better and faster, so that you could be freed up, and rather than spending that hour working on a website, you could be leading a teleseminar, right, where you could have 300 people on it, and then you could share with them your product or service and get the sales, right? And earn that $1,000 for that hour of your time versus squandering that hour of your time trying to do stuff that you just shouldn't do. So that's the whole bottleneck. When you're bottlenecking because you're really in your own way. You're in your own way of the possibility of really moving forward and earning that $1,000 a day versus $100 a day, because you're spending your time much better when you're working within your strengths. You're focusing on high-earning income activities versus trying to do the website and trying to generate your own traffic and trying to learn all this stuff and trying to, you know, go through the home study course and, you know, all the ways that we feel like we're being productive, but the reality is we're being very unproductive. So an action step, and this is a really good one here, is pull out like a little sticky note, you know, get a little sticky note, something like that that will remind you, and ask the question. You'll go ahead and write this out. What money hat am I wearing right now? So what money hat am I wearing right now? And you put this on your computer monitor. You could put this on your mirror in the bathroom. You could put this on your fridge. Wherever you're going to be and wherever you're going to see it over and over and over again. You know, three or four or five times a day until it starts to become a habit. You start to ask yourself this and reconnect. You know, you're checking in with yourself. And what you're going to find is your productivity is going to go through the roof, because you're going to start realizing like, ooh, okay, I just spent 30 minutes working on the colors of a logo. And you'll catch yourself, if you're working on logo, you can go, this will help you to step back then and say, what can I do now that's much more productive use of your time, working within your strengths?
I see a list of people here that are with us, and I know a lot of them are their own bottlenecks, just like I am in many ways, my own bottleneck. So how would that, what's the thought process going in my head and their head, I'm sure, is, okay, so, but I have to train all these people on how to do this stuff.
Well, there's a couple different ways to go about it. So let's talk, and I see these questions, great questions, guys. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And really, that was the primary reason why I created Profit Groove Marketing and our digital marketing agency, and the outsourcing was, it was out of desperation. So it was out of a lot of people that are, you know, with us right now and thinking, all right, outsourcing sounds good, sounds like it makes sense, but where do you even begin, and where do you find people, and how do you train people, and how do you manage people, and what software do you use, and right, all these different questions to go about it. Most people, as you're out there, you know, and you're looking out, most people are teaching you how to build a team. You know, they got the home study courses, and they're teaching you to go to, for instance, an example would be Elance, right? Elance or Freelancer or Guru or some of these other major, you know, these are some of the bigger and the major outsourcing, you know, companies or directories. And yet, that's certainly one way to go. Let's see if they want to just have somebody build a website for them. You know, they're starting small or starting with the initial step. They could go to Elance, they could go to Guru, Freelancer. Those are the top three. And what you do is you simply go in, and really important before you do this to get really clear on what it is that you need, right? So a sort of a proposal, if you will, a request for what I call an IFP, a request for proposal. So the more clear that you could be in terms of what you need help with. So rather than say, hey, I need a website, be much more specific. I want a WordPress website, has a beautiful theme, and you know, maybe you've gone out and you found the theme. You know, you've gone out and looked at the colors that you want, and so on and so forth. So bottom line is, before you go and you start, you know, so that you know what you want, you know what you need, and also the specifics of what that might be. And this is the biggest challenge that I see with a lot of people, is they just don't know. You know, they think they know. They're like, hey, I want to create an info product and sell an info product. So they got the bigger picture of what they need. And then more importantly, the steps, what we call sequencing, right? Step one, step two, step three. All of that really has to be in place and really, you know, have a clear understanding between you're creating and in what order, the sequence. So that would be, again, step one, step two, step three, all the different projects, and then the tasks within the projects really need to be worked out between you and whomever it is that you're working with. The downside to going to a guru or an Elance or a Freelancer or something like that is these guys aren't going to know this stuff. You know, these guys, you'll have a web designer, and then you'll have a traffic guy, and then you'll have a coder, or, you know, the different people that can certainly support you, but they're not going to know how to pull it all together and to help you to create that blueprint. So you really do need some support with that, whether it's with David or, you know, any other good marketing people out there that you trust, people that are proven it within their own business, so you see that it's actually working for them, so they're actually walking their talk. But, you know, getting help and getting a plan before you go and you start outsourcing is absolutely critical. Jump into it. They get all excited and then go out and find somebody and hire somebody, and then they just realize once they get somebody in place, like, okay, what are the first steps? You know, they're sort of counting on the outsource person to know what the steps are and to know how to do all these things. And from what you're going to find with most outsourcing companies, they just don't know, especially with what we're all doing here, which is very specific, you know, info products and coaching and consulting and, you know, all the things that we do to build a successful business online, the software that's available today to build a business online. And then number two is once you have that plan, then start with, you know, step number one, step number two, number three, all the way through in terms of priorities and what you're going to need to.
So once again, you said step one was to create a plan.
Yep.
Step two is to understand the steps in the plan.
Yep.
Okay, so let me just give you an experience that I've had way too many times. Is I hire somebody to do what I think needs to be done, and I'm always looking for long-term relationships. So then I end up being a trainer, full-time trainer, which I don't have time for, right? How do you find the right people?
Very good. And really, that's kind of back to how why we created Profit Groove, to be honest with you, was I went through these challenges, you know, going through, and like many of you is, you know, you find the web guy, and then you find the traffic guy, and then you find these others, like I experienced. I went through and I hired these guys, and what I ended up becoming, and this is a trap, and you guys all need to be really careful of this, because the last thing we want to do is have to become your own manager. You know, managing people, managing projects, managing, you know, milestones. If you don't have the right people in place that are all talking together, I can tell you it's absolutely going to be a nightmare. It's going to blow up on you. So don't become your own project manager, because you're working with outsourcers internationally, you know, where you've got, let's say, either in India or the Philippines or wherever it might be. You've got language barriers, you've got cultural differences, you've got time differences. So the reason why we created Profit Groove was because of these challenges that I went through myself, and so hundreds of our clients, is, you know, not having to become your own project manager. Be really careful that you don't get into that trap, because it's really easy to fall into. You know, you pull together these people and all of a sudden now you're spending time training them and then managing all of that out of the loop in terms of having to be your own project manager. What we do is we provide a project manager for you as a client that's highly trained in every aspect of affiliate partner programs and autoresponders and all of those things. So critical that you have all of that in place. You know, the branding piece, which is videos and you know, logos and PowerPoints, and then also all of the traffic generation. You know, the sales and tracking and so on and so forth. So what we realize and why we're doing so well and supporting so many of the leaders with our industry is we've taken that whole piece of you having to be your own manager out of the loop by having project managers that are highly trained on all the different aspects of building a successful business online, the best software that we're using, from, you know, Webinar Jam to Lead Pages to all the different stuff that we'll get into today. But being able to have that project manager in place that knows all this, so that you have one point of contact. So what you're going to look at, and what, making sure that you have a team in place, so it's not you trying to go out and find all these people individually and then manage them individually, but look for a team that's already in place that has the implementers as well as project managers, so that you have one point of contact that can really get to understand you, get to know you, get to understand your business, develop the blueprint together, develop the plan so that everybody's on the same page, and then it becomes their job and their responsibility to take your plan, to get it to the development team, have them do the work, back through quality control, and then back to you, so that you'll have one point of contact with your project manager, and then it's their job to manage all the different tasks and the timelines and so on and so forth. So really important that you be careful. If you're going out to Elance and some of these other outsourcing companies, be really careful that you don't fall into the trap that David did, because it's very, very difficult, if not close to being impossible, to pull off. It really, really is. So again, having your own project managers.
I'm sorry, Gail has got a really good question at this point, though, about making that move. And she says you have to get from where you are now to where you want to be. There's a cash flow lag that has to be managed as well. So talk about that a little bit.
In what respect? What do you mean?
Well,
when
people are on a different continuum. Somebody may need, and Mike also asked, for small projects, what's the downside of being my own project manager? So, you know, we've got people doing small projects versus somebody who's doing big projects. Where do you make that shift from, I can actually work with one person to do specific things versus I need a project team?
Right. It all comes back to, I think, creating the plan, you know, creating the strategy, the blueprint. So before you do any of this stuff, you know, take the time to work with somebody like David or, you know, a marketing strategist, you know, somebody that really understands this to help you to look at the big picture. This is one of the biggest challenges I see a lot of people do is it's sort of the shotgun approach. You know, they get in and they're like, you know, they might be tight financially, so they try a little of this and then they try a little of that. And what happens is, if you don't have the pieces all together, you know, the vision and the plan and the blueprint in terms of where you're taking your business throughout the year, you know, of the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, looking at the bigger picture, what's going to happen is you're going to go in circles. You're going to go spin around. So you might say, all right, I'm going to have a small project just to have a logo and go find somebody on Elance, and that's fine. You know, if you're thinking small and if you're just really beginning to move the business forward, you know, that's certainly a place to start. However, if you really want to move quickly and if you really want to get a lot of the stuff off the plate, the place to start is create the plan first. Really got to develop that plan. Once you do that, then you'll see the bigger picture that it's not just, you know, working on the logo today, so going out and finding that person, because, yeah, it's a great start, but very quickly as your business begins to grow and as things begin to take off, you're going to notice that, hey, there's lots of things that need to be handled right now. Could be follow-up phone calls. I mean, there's lots of different pieces to building a successful business. So rather than the shotgun approach and trying little things here and there, you know, the key is really to understand the big picture before you even get started with anybody, so that you don't waste time and that you don't waste money going in circles.
Okay. That's good, because I have wasted a lot of money in the 10 years I've been doing this, almost 10 years I've been doing this. I think I've told folks that I spent like $22,000 before I made my first nickel online.
Ouch.
You know, and a lot of folks have done that. I mean, that's actually a small amount of money from what I've heard from a lot of other folks.
In comparison to what we could have invested and that people do. But that's why we're here today, is to, you know, to teach and to train and to share everybody that's listening in mistakes that we've made and mistakes that we've seen our clients make in the past, so that you can avoid that brain damage and you can minimize the cost, you know, the wasted time and the wasted money in the process. Because, you know, as you've been speaking and training with all the different trainings with NABS, is building a highly successful business difficult. In fact, it's actually fairly simple. If you know what you're doing, if you have your plan in place, and if you've got the right team around you to support you in the things that you just shouldn't be doing yourself.
Right.
It really isn't that difficult. There you go, David. Lost you there for a second. What were you
saying? So I typed in here relationships, because it seems to me that if you have a plan, that the relationship that is the most important to you then becomes your project manager.
Right.
And if that's the case, if you've got a good project manager, you really don't need to worry about the people under the project manager. Is that right?
Correct.
So talk about building that relationship and how you work with a good project manager.
First of all of our project managers are highly trained. So what we did is we went through and we trained them on all of the best, you know, internet marketing courses out there. Jeff Walker's product launch formula, for instance, and Brendan Burchard's product launch trainings. And that would be the thing, is to look at what is their experience. You You know, what has their training been? What kind of specifics have they learned? So, you know, it's the internet marketing stuff. You know, that really the tough questions, especially this day and age, is, you know, ask them, you know, their backgrounds, what kind of things that they've done. Have them share with you references of clients that they've worked with. Necessarily take most anybody's word on anything these days. It's sort of the Wild West in a lot of respects. So, you know, understand and communicate with them on what kind of training they've had, what kind of relevant training, I should say, that they've had, stuff that we're all using today, and they have a grasp of that. Project manager would be, you know, what kind of teams have they worked with in terms of development, and the communication systems. So another one would be, you know, how are they communicating with their teams? You know, what kind of online project management / communication system are they using to be able to communicate with the implementation team so that, again, everybody's on the same page, the project manager as well as the development team, so that there's no breakdown in the communication between the two. Really, really important, you guys. So, Dave, again, the software was Basecamp is certainly one of the bigger ones. Teamwork PM would be another one that I would highly recommend in terms of the online project management and communication systems that that a good project manager will need to work with you as well as the development team, so that everybody's on the same page and everybody's in constant communication and everything is completely transparent.
What do you think about Asana as a project management tool?
Good. Yep, good one as well.
Yeah, a lot of folks are talking about that.
It's certainly not as large as, you know, the Basecamp or the Teamwork, but it's a good one. What we actually did is we worked with Basecamp for a couple of years, and we just learned that for lots of reasons with our model, you know, again, with our project manager and our team, and I've got over $100,000 in development in this thing, and it is absolutely fantastic. It really is the key behind the success of our work with our clients is the communication.
So,
you know, that's certainly what we use, but you got to have something, some sort of software to communicate between the project manager and the team.
So I'm sorry, I missed which one you used and which one you had $100,000 development in.
We built it. It's called the Profit Groove System, okay, is what we use. So it's like a souped up version. It's a combination between Basecamp and Teamwork PM, where people are and who's working on their projects and percentage completions and all those things that are absolutely critical to understand, especially if you're working with timelines and product launches and things that need to be done at specific times.
Okay. So talk a little bit about the types of outsourcing. That's one of the things we were going to capture up here. People have asked about small projects, large projects. What if you just got a few tasks that you want to get accomplished? Is that when you go to Elance?
Again, it's, you know, typically you get what you pay for, right. So you know, you really need to you know, to keep that in mind, and then just do your research. So if you're starting small, if you want to do just individual, you know, small projects, specifics of what you want, and then you go in, and of course these people will bid on the projects, on what they're willing to do the projects for. But Fiverr is another one, super cheap, super inexpensive. Just make sure you get a good person in there and look at the work that they've done. You might want to talk with some references, see what kind of things that they've actually done so that you see that they're actually walking the talk as opposed to just talking the talk.
Right. And I've got a question here from Stan who says, Travis, do you have a book or PDF checklist that is available that outlines this process? And I'm putting in a link here in the question box and in the chat box. That is nams.ws/solutionsDL. That is the download page for this and where the videos from this will be stored. The top link is Travis's PDF of the Profit Groove guide that he's made available to us. And so that was nams.ws/solutionsDL. Okay, so do you hear me?
We've got a 36-minute demo video that we use with Profit Groove that really gets into this stuff. You know, it really gets from the very basics all the way through in terms of, you know, what it takes to build a successful business in today's new economy And when I say the new economy, as we all know, it's very different today than it was 4 and 5 years ago. The primary difference is there's just so much noise out there. You know, I mean, with social media, with television and print media, with just all the things that are going on, there's just a lot of noise. So, of course, it makes it even more challenging to connect and to attract our ideal markets, the types of people that we want to work with. Now, you know, given that in mind, yes, it's challenging in a lot of respects for most people who really don't understand this and understand how to break through. But for everybody listening in and for every, you know, people that are, you know, here and taking the time and making the investment to learn this stuff, line that goes along with this demo video, and we'll include the link up, Dave, in the on your page as well for the demo video, so
right.
that you know they can watch the video and go along with the print off and just kind of fill it out. But what the print off does is it has you look at, number one, what are some of the biggest challenges that you're facing within your business. So you can get it out of your head, get it onto paper, get real about it, right? So it gives us power to overcome those or to create solutions for those. And then it also talks about, you know, the biggest challenges in the industry. And the biggest one is, yeah, there's just so much noise. You know, how to break through and how to connect and how to attract your ideal market. What we talk about in the video as well as the print-off here is the key to your success is all about developing your platform. And your platform, in its simplest terms, means how many people within your target market. So clearly, you got to know who your target market is. First step is, you know, who is it that you want to attract? Who is it you want to work with? Who are the people that allow you to do your best work? You know, the types of people that you really want to spend your time with. So number one, how many people within your target market know you? And then how many people within your target market know you? And more importantly, they think of you as the expert in what you do. So that's what platform is. You know, it's your reach. You know, it's having a list of 200 people versus 20,000 people. 200 versus in your target market versus 20,000. Great group. However, there's going to be a big difference between 200 versus 20,000. Much bigger reach with the 20,000 versus the 200. So it's platform. How many people within your target market know you? And more importantly, how many of them think of you as the expert in what you do? Right? There's four ways to do that. And you'll learn this more in the video, but I'll just kind of break it. In fact, Dave, you want me to break them down real quick, the four different steps to developing
sure.
your platform?
Sure.
You want me to run through some?
Absolutely.
There's really four steps. To develop your platform. Number one is frequency. So frequency, and as the name implies, it means you know, connecting with your audience over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Frequency, over and over again. And doing it in multiple different ways. And that could be, you know, sending them a video. They could see their video, or a little 3-minute video clip. It could be a blog post. It could be a social media update or a picture on Pinterest. It could be a teleseminar or a live call that you're doing. It could be a Google Hangout that you're doing. So lots of different ways to connect, you know, what I call high-tech, high-touch. So using the technology that's available today and touching and connecting with your audience over and over and over and over and over again. Frequency. Got to be out, and we've got to just be out, you know, over and over again, because what most people do is, you know, they'll connect with their list, for instance, once a month or something along those lines in one different way, and it's just not enough these days. And I can hear, you know, a lot of questions coming up for people is, well, we don't want to bother our prospects. We don't want to be too in their face. We don't want to be too overbearing, for instance. But the reality is, you guys, remember, we're all dizzy. We're all walking around now dizzy in the head because there's so much information. So to develop your platform and your reach, you know, how many people see you as the expert in what you do, it's all about frequency over and over and over again and connecting in multiple different ways online through the high tech, the high touch. So that's number one is frequency. Number two in the process is consistency. Consistency. And as when the name implies here is, it's just about being in the game and staying in the game. So as an example, and I see this challenge all the time is, and many of you are probably, you know, could go through this as well. You know, you get all excited about, okay, I see something that's going to work now. Really, I got a sense of hope, right, that this is going to work and we can, you know, move the business forward. So what they'll do is they'll go out and they'll start, you know, they'll do a couple blog posts. And then they'll go out and they'll do an article. Maybe they'll do a teleseminar. So great, they're getting that frequency. But if what they'll do is they'll go for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then life will catch up with them, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden they get sort of sidetracked, and then they get out of the game. You know, they lose that consistency. So they could go out and do their couple things for a week or so, and all of a sudden, boom, they're pulled out. And you know, 3 months goes by. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's right. I should be posting to my blog, or I should be updating my social media management, or I should be writing and submitting articles, or creating and syndicating videos, or all the things, content marketing that generates traffic, that produces the sales. The consistency is absolutely critical. So it's not only doing it over and over and over again with the frequency, but the consistency means staying in the game. Staying in the game on a consistent basis is what's going to make the overall difference, because very few people are actually doing it. Very few people are frequent and they're consistent. So when you do that, it's going to have you stand out head and shoulders above all of your other competitors, all the other people that are doing similar things, and it's going to have you stand out as the leader or the expert in your space. And that's what all our prospects are looking for, is to learn from and to buy from, you know, courses and training and so on and so forth from people that they see as the leaders in their space. So consistency is number two. Number three is tangibility. So we got frequency number one, consistency number two. Number three is tangibility. So tangibility is creating something that people feel like they can sink their teeth into, right? They can touch, they can feel it. It could be a webinar, right? Maybe even a recorded webinar, you know, an automated webinar that you could play over and over and over again. It could be a teleseminar. It could be a video or a little video training series. Could be an article, you know, it could be a white paper. Anything that has a sense of tangibility to it. You know, it's interesting. They say that published authors, you know, somebody that's actually gone out and written a book, has over a 300% better or higher credibility rating than somebody that's not published. And you think about that. You know, so, and when we think, oh, wow, you've written a book, we see somebody that's written a book, and we just assume that they're an expert in whatever it is that they're writing about, simply because they have a book, because they have something tangible. But the reality is we could do the same or create the same type of credibility with our audience, with our prospects, by having a teleseminar or a webinar or a blog post or a white paper or an ebook or anything that is sort of tangible. When you've got that tangibility around your business that people can touch and they can feel, your credibility rating is going to go through the roof. And that's what all about is, you know, building the platform is all about, you know, strengthening your credibility to where people see you as the expert in what you do, right? So tangibility, really important. So frequency, consistency, tangibility, and then the fourth step, the fourth process to developing your platform is visibility, right? And that's, as the name implies, is just being out there. Is where people are seeing you all over the place. They're seeing you on social media. Right? They're seeing you've built your list, or you're getting your a blog post. They're watching your videos. They're just out there. And you think about the people that are doing the best in our industry. And I'll just throw out a couple names. You know, maybe you guys know Brandon Burchard. You know, Brandon Burchard is killing it. You know, in the coaching space, in the expert space, he's doing over $10 million a year. With a very small team, very small business, so very, you know, low overhead, but he's doing $10 million a year, and the reason why he's doing that is because he's specialized in developing his own platform And, of course, teaching other people how to do the same. So he's visible. He's out there. He's got people mailing for him. You know, he's got Jeff Walker, and he's got, you know, all the big people within the internet marketing space doing JVs with him and promoting for him, right? And that's what's got his name out there to the point where his list is absolutely enormous. His social media following is, like, again, astronomical. It's just out there. So he's got hundreds of thousands of people who know him, who like him, who trust him, because he's giving the content. You know, he's out there frequently. He's out there consistently. He's got the tangibility where he's giving out free videos and free training. So he's developing that relationship, building trust, and he's everywhere. Social media, online, offline, everywhere. And as people see him, they just naturally assume that he's an expert in what he does. And, of course, bam, he's doing $10 million plus per year, and he's not working that hard, right? I mean, yeah, he's working, and yeah, he's got a team. Everything we're talking about in terms of outsourcing, he's certainly not doing this stuff himself, but $10 million a year because he understands the power of developing the platform for himself and for others. So visibility is absolutely the key. The beauty behind developing your platform here is this is stuff that you just don't have to do all yourself. A lot of this stuff you can outsource. You can get this off your plate. You know, you can get a team that can do blog posts for you, that can manage your social media for you, that can write and submit articles for you, that can help you to create videos and submit videos for you. So all the traffic generation, all the content management, you know, the frequency, the consistency, the tangibility and visibility, you don't have to do all this stuff yourself. And the sooner that you realize that, and then you create a plan for doing this, and then you get a team to support you with doing this, the faster your business is going to grow. And, you know, with technology now, I've seen people that are just getting started in the business and who understand this stuff and get out there and have a team that can do this for them that rise to the top within 2 to 3 months. All of a sudden they're this, you know, known name and this known brand, and they're selling their products and services, and they've got JV partners that are promoting their stuff to lists of 20 and 30 and 40,000 people. So, you know, developing their platform as an expert, you can do it really quickly. It doesn't take years like it did in the past.
The thing about these four processes is this really encapsulates, to me, the entire thing about online marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, you've really hit all of them, the frequency, consistency, tangibility, and visibility. And the idea that you can outsource all of this is it's huge. It really is.
Exactly.
So when you're creating your plan, it's important, I think, to go through each of the four of these and figure out where you want to attack, what you want to tackle first, what you like to do, what you don't like to do, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I want to take a couple of questions here, if you don't mind. We can start looking at some of these.
Sure, okay? Sounds great.
First off, the Profit Groove link that I put in there, the NAMS.WS Profit Groove, isn't correct. It's not loading. So I'm going to fix that while we're answering some questions here. Let's see. I'm going to roll back up and see what we can to the top. We've got a lot of questions and comments here. You've answered the question about the software. And Sheila is wanting to know about your company personally. Where is most of your outsourcing going? Is it Philippines, U.S., or elsewhere?
Great question. Yeah. So for Profit Groove, we have a hybrid. So we've got about probably half the company here in the States. So anything that really needs a U.S. voice. So, you know, our copywriting team is here. Our video production team is here. Of course, our board and our finance and billing and, you know, all of that, the corporate side of things. So anything that needs a U.S. voice is here in the States. And then anything in terms of the technical aspects, like, you know, web design, traffic generation, coding, all of those things, you know, a lot of stuff that we're talking about here with, you know, the four steps in generating your platform, we've got two teams out of India that are doing our work there. So that's what allows us to be able to produce the high level of quality that we do. You know, we've got about, I'd say about $75 an hour type of quality that we're producing for our clients. But because we're a hybrid, because we've got about half the company here in the States and then half the company outside in India, we can produce that $75 an hour plus type of quality for anywhere between $18 to $20 an hour.
Okay.
So about a third of what you would typically pay.
So when I'm hearing that, and I've got a follow-up to that, when I'm hearing the hourly rates on that, do you suggest people work within their budget to set a type of budget for outsourcing each month, whether it's through you or other people, and you try to get as much done with that budget as possible? Is that a way to start?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Again, back to the plan. So getting really clear about what you want to do over the first 90 days, whether it's, you know, create and launch a product. And of course, with that, you'll need a website. You'll need the whole product funnel as well as the marketing funnel. So that's the first step. And then also, looking at your budget, looking at your financial budget and just figuring out how to, you know, to create or to carve out a marketing budget to be able to do this. So for instance, with our plans, we have a couple different plans. We start at 25 hours. Our minimum would be 25 hours a month to be working with the team. And again, they do all kinds of things for you, full service, from the technical stuff all the way through traffic generation. But we don't do, with Product Group, we don't do just little one-off stuff like a guru or something. What makes us different is we're more full service, and we include the strategy with you and the blueprints and, you know, working through the overall process. So, you know, if you're just getting started, if you don't have that type of budget, you know, starting at $500 or $700 or $1,000 a month, you know, start really small. You know, maybe start with an Elance or one project at a time, but definitely work towards figuring out how to get you the marketing budget up to where you could have more of a full-time service and more a full-time approach, meaning, the 25 hours or above. You know, we've got people doing 25 hours. We've got clients like David Ricklin over at Self Growth who's doing, you know, 300 and 400 hours a month. So it completely depends on where you are with your business and then getting your business to the point where we can create some momentum, get you into profitability as quickly as possible so that you'll have some income to reinvest back in your business, back in your team, so that you can really start to grow and expand from that.
Okay. Ute's got a good question, kind of a follow-up question to that, and that is, at what stage did you feel ready to outsource, and what did you outsource first?
Great question. Awesome question. The first things that I did, well, I kind of went through the little action step that we talked about before, what happened was, I was just, as many people listening in, I was sort of, not necessarily in a desperation mode, but I was just so frustrated with the team that I had at the point. You know, I had a couple of virtual assistants. I had an online business manager. Oh. You know, I was paying $75 an hour. I was just, you know, so it was really expensive. And just all the stuff that I was teaching our clients, you know, the software and the technologies and others, you know, the team that I had at the point, it just wasn't working in lots of respects. So, you know, and this is, you know, 5 and 6 years ago, and I remember seeing what was going on with the whole outsource movement, you know, reading Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour right. Work Week and how to leverage things. That was like quite an eye-opener. And if you guys haven't read that yet, 4-Hour Work Week, highly recommend doing it. It's Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Work Week, but it'll really help you to get clarity on the importance of outsourcing and leveraging and scaling and so on and so forth. So to answer your question, you know, what did I start with and when did I start with? It really was out of a little sense of desperation and frustration based on where I was at the time, and then also looking at the big picture. You know, I had gone through and I was teaching a webinar on the SWOT analysis, you know, looking at your strengths and your weaknesses and the threats and the opportunities. So taking a snapshot of your business, and I really got clear going through my own work of, all right, where are the, you know, where are the things that I need to enhance within the business? And I got really clear that, hey, getting this technical stuff off the plate, you know, websites, at the time I was still, you know, managing my own WordPress stuff. I was still trying to generate my own traffic, so writing articles and submitting articles. I was still creating my own videos and taking time to submit videos. So the main thing was the technical aspect that I didn't love, that I didn't enjoy. I realized I was spending way too much time. You know, the money hat. I asked myself the question, what money hat am I wearing right now? And I realized that I was just very unproductive with my schedule. just by taking that, you know, taking sight of really where I was, and I said, all right, so I'm being unproductive. What are some areas that I can make some quick shifts to become much more productive, to wear that $100 an hour money hat versus $20 an hour money hat? You know, five times the leverage, five times more productivity out of just getting some of this stuff off my plate. So I went through the same exercise that we talked about a little bit earlier of drawing the line down the pad of paper. On the left-hand side, I went through all the different action steps, all the different things, all the tasks, the way I was spending my time during the day, and also the things that I should have been doing that I just wasn't getting to, and I think all of us can relate to that. Mm-hmm. So I created that list, and then I got really clear by looking at the things that I absolutely had to do myself, which is working with clients, you know, the creative side, the content stuff for with my message, and then everything else that I just didn't have to do myself. I didn't worry about who was going to handle it. I didn't worry about how it was going to be handled or when it was going to be handled. I just started by creating the list. And that's what I would recommend that you guys all do, is get the power behind, you know, understanding where the breakdowns are in your time, where you're being ineffective with your time, ways that we could be more productive. Then when you get on the right-hand side of the line, all the different things that you can outsource, then what you want to do is to begin to prioritize in terms of what's going to move your business and your profits forward as quickly as possible. So that's what I did, and I realized it was, hey, primarily it was the traffic generation, you know, because I had the website, I had the info product, I had something that I could sell. So for me at that point, to answer your question, was traffic. I needed much more traffic, better traffic, focused traffic, sustainable traffic that I didn't have to go out there and be generating over and over and over again myself. So what we did with the team is created a traffic generation plan, and that included everything from, well, I could talk about that too, the three B's, what I call the three ways to generate traffic. Maybe we should cover that in a little bit, but went through the traffic generation plan, got the team on it, and all of a sudden my life started getting so much easier, started flowing so much better, because now I had, I was now making the sales without me having to go out and generate the traffic to make the sales. We had the team.
So I think I'm hearing something important here, which is that you focus on one area of your business and outsource that.
Yes, one place to start, one place that you feel is the biggest bottleneck. Okay. You know, where are you in your own way, and looking at the true cost of that? What's that costing you when you're wearing that $20 an hour money hat versus you could be wearing the $1,000 an hour money hat? So pick one and start with that. You know, what's the most painful that if you can get, not, you know, as you get help with that, is going to make the biggest difference in, number one, giving you peace of mind, most importantly, and number two, what's going to make the biggest difference in moving your business forward and getting you into profitability as quickly as possible.
Okay. So I want to come back to your list for a second before we go on, because you were talking about this when I had to reboot. And you said the left side of your list is all the tasks that you do. The right side of your list is, explain that.
Right. So the left, so what you do is you draw a line down the middle of a pad of paper. On the left-hand side, you go through and start by just writing all the tasks that you're doing. Stuff that you're doing yourself, stuff that you should be doing, just all the different tasks. So get really clear about how you're spending your time or how you should be spending your time. So once you have that, then go back to the top of the list and go through and just identify what are the things that you absolutely have to do yourself. So the things that you have to do yourself, you're going to keep on the left-hand side of the list, and then you're going to move over, as you're writing here on the mind map, on the right-hand side of the list is going to be the things that you can get off your plate, the things that you can outsource. Right? So on the left-hand side, you're going to keep the things that you need, and then you're going to move the things that you just can't do yourself or you shouldn't be doing yourself, things that you can outsource. You move that to the right side of the line. And then once you do that, the last step is to go through and either you do this yourself or work with a coach. You know, a lot of times it could be much more beneficial when you get what I call the dialogue versus the monologue. You know, monologue is when you're in your own head asking yourself the questions and trying to come up with the answers, you know, self-coaching. Whereas the dialogue is you getting feedback and bouncing ideas off of somebody else. So again, with David or any other good marketing coach that knows how to, you know, to be able to coach this stuff out of you and get really clear on supporting you and developing the priorities, you know, the most important things that are going to get you into profitability as quickly as possible, so that once you're in profitability, now you can breathe a little easier, you're going to have a little more space, you know, and you can reinvest in having a, you know, a better team or more outsourced, you know, implementers actually doing more for you.
Yeah, the reason I asked.
So the key is get,
the reason I ask about the list again is because I can see this as you identify the things you can outsource, you start grouping those into those specific areas, such as traffic or WordPress updates or whatever it is, so that you can identify the things that you want to outsource and tackle those areas one at a time to start with.
Right.
Okay, good. So this becomes the basis of your plan. That's why I wanted to cover that again to make sure.
Yeah, you
okay,
got
good.
It.
Good. All right, so back to the questions. Art is asking about systems, and I understand that you at Profit Groove have systems, but if you're going to outsource at all, you've got to have your own system in place as well, so that you can keep up to date on what's getting done and what needs to be done next and according to your plan. Do you have recommendations on how to personally keep your own system in place?
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to the project management system. So Basecamp would be one, Teamwork PM would be another. So having some sort of communication system between you and your team is absolutely critical. And so, you know, getting that together and then developing the different projects that you're going to be working on, creating the timelines. So, for instance, if you're going to be doing a product launch or something along those lines, yeah, you're going to need to work back from, you know, let's say, you know, 3 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it is, depending on, again, what you're working on, but getting really clear on what those timelines are. So what's going to need to be done this week, what's going to be done next week, and so on and so forth. So it all links together to be able to pull all the different projects and then the tasks within those projects. And then finally is an what we call sequencing, you know, making sure that everything is in the right order. And this is really critical. So, and a big problem that I see with a lot of people is they may have the big picture stuff of the projects that they want to have done. And you know, some even go to that next step of looking at the tasks within the projects. But then the key is having both of those and then also what order. What is the proper order sequence of the different steps? So let's say it's product launch. You know, if you're going to go out and do a product launch, and if you're starting from scratch, I'll just use this as an example here. You know, product launch, if you want to launch, you know, within 6 weeks, then there's certain things that we need to have in place, you know, leading up to those 6 weeks. And so if you're just starting from scratch, that would be, you know, creating your overall plan. What is the product funnel? So what is it that you're going to be selling? You know, what kind of technology needs to be, if it's a membership site, what software are you going to use? Is it Wishlist or is it Kajabi? Or, you know, so walking through and creating that and getting all that stuff mapped out first and foremost before you get started is critical. And then from there, it's having the projects and then the tasks in the right order. So if it's, you know, if it's a product launch, you know, you would certainly need to have a landing page, right, or a squeeze page that gives away something for free, whether it's a teleseminar or a webinar or you know, a series of 3 to 5 minute video clips, you know, Jeff Walker's product launch formula, you know, his strategy. So those are all working really well. It could be an automated webinar through Evergreen System, you know, Mike Filsaime's program. So we need to choose what is the freebie going to be, what's going to be the lead magnet that's going to get people into the funnel, and then creating a landing page, so deciding what software you're going to use. You know, are you going to use leadpages.net? Are you going to use OptimizePress with WordPress? Are you going to, you know, working through that kind of stuff in the proper order. So having the projects and then the tasks and making sure that you've got step A, step B, step C, as opposed to what most people do is they haven't worked this stuff all out. So again, it's that shotgun approach, and they try a little of this, and then they try something else in the wrong order, and then that gets confusing, and then all of a sudden you're into overwhelm, and you're into breakdown.
So
So
one of the things I wanted to ask you about here, I'm an old project manager from the corporate world, and one of the things that we always did, we always had a date that we always ended up, we knew what the date was going to be before we even started the project. It's kind of bass ackwards, but you know, that's the way the corporate world did it. So we would get a date, and what I would end up doing is going to the development team and the business analyst and saying, here's what we want to accomplish. That's like first thing. Here's what we want to accomplish. Here's the date that we want to accomplish it. Now walk me backwards so that in the project plan, I can identify everything that needs to happen to make this happen. And then we do the time estimates on it, and we figure out if it's going to happen by that date. And if it doesn't, you start trimming features and those kind of things. So sequencing to me is really important, because what happens often is we'll start a project and we'll hand off to somebody who's not ready because somebody else didn't do their piece first. And we didn't know that they needed to do their piece first. And that's the fastest way to get things off track.
Exactly. Okay.
So the next question I wanted to go to here is, Harold is asking, which would you, and we're going to come back to your traffic, by the way, the three B's, so keep that in the back of your mind in just a second.
Yeah, okay? You bet.
So Harold was saying, which would you recommend outsourcing to, someone in the U.S., Philippines, or India, or does it really matter?
Good question, and it really depends on you. It depends on your goals. It depends on your financial situation. You know, it depends on a lot of those types of things. So, you know, clearly, if you can afford to go out and to hire people here in the States, whether it's a good VA or a good online business manager or a local digital marketing agency, somebody like that that is well trained and well versed in what we do. You know, and the software that we use, and what I mean is, you know, as infopreneurs and as coaches and consultants and, you know, all of those things, because it's a different animal what we're doing. You know, we're not the brick and mortar t-shirt company type of thing, right? On your, you know, selling t-shirts or a surf shop or something. What we do typically is you know, selling information and consulting and those types of things online. So it really depends, to answer your question, on your budget. You know, your marketing budget. If you got a huge budget, and if you feel more comfortable working, you know, with somebody just on your local, you know, around the corner from you, and you want to go in and be able to sit down with them and walk through things and you know, have that type of personal, you know, relationship, well, then maybe a local digital marketing agency would be something that you should look at. The downside of that is it's going to be extremely expensive. You know, you're going to be looking at $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to get, you know, to do the things that we're talking about doing if you're going to be based strictly here in the U.S. As far as India, there's certainly pros and cons, as well as Philippines and working internationally. And that would be, you know, language barriers. It would be time frame barriers, you know, scheduling. It would be just cultural things, you know, making sure that people really understand what the heck you're talking about and understand what you want and doing. So be careful of that, especially if you're going out, if you're hiring people from India or even the Philippines. Both are good. You know, they both have, you know, good people out there. But if you're going to go out to Elance or Freelancer and just go, you know, the onesie twosies and go out and just kind of pick your individual person, you know, do your due diligence. You know, speak with them. Look at the projects that they've done before. Talk with their clients. You know, get the references. Really spend time and do your homework before you're hiring somebody. Another thing is give them a test project. You know, give them a small test project that doesn't take a lot of time or a lot of money to see how they do, to see how they communicate with you, to see how they work within your communication system, whether it's Basecamp or Teamwork PM or whatever it is. You know, get a feel for where they are and how they do for you as a test project before you really go into a full-blown, you know, type of campaign. And again, these are things that we've all gone through. And again, we've hired and we've fired lots and lots of people through the years just to get the right mix of, you know, working, having that hybrid where we've got people here in the U.S. for things that need to be done here in the U.S. You know, I get copywriting. We tried to have our team from India do copywriting, and it was an absolute disaster. Mm-hmm. for all kinds of reasons. They just didn't understand really where we're coming from and be able to share our voice adequately. Right. So we've got U.S.-based copywriters that share that message. And then we have the technical team who, once we've taught them how to do all this stuff, you know, to build websites and to generate traffic, you know, that stuff can all be taught. And we've gone through the process of doing all that and all that, you know, the legwork for that to where, again, we've got a combination of the two. You know, so to answer your question, I would say really depends on your goals, where you're coming from. It depends on your financial budget. What makes us so attractive with Profit Groove is we've gone through all the brain damage, we've gone through the headaches, and we've eliminated that so that when you come in, you get a project-based or a project manager working U.S. hours. You can talk to them during the day when you want them, when you need them, and then they go and work through the plan. They work through the sequencing, through all the steps, and then it's their job to take it to the development team to actually get the work done so you just don't have to deal with all of that kind of stuff. So, again, really depends on where you're coming from and you know, how quickly you want to move your business forward.
Okay, there's a couple of more questions here I wanted to get to, but the first thing I want to do is go back to your traffic 3Bs that you were going to tell us about. So,
perfect. Okay, so in terms of traffic generation, and this is something we get a lot. You know, people come to us saying, you know, they're just getting started and they want to create the plan. They want to work with all the technical aspects, build the websites, develop the brand, all that. That's great. So let's assume now that all that's in place, right? You've got your site in place, and you've got the branding, and you've got the, you know, all that linking together. Your social media, it's in place. It's all ready now for traffic. You know, traffic, as we all know, is the fuel that drives the business. You know, without traffic, you know, you could have the best website, you could have the most awesome product that you and other people love, but if you don't have that ongoing traffic, none of it's going to matter. So it's the two-prong approach, having a really strong brand, really strong platform, a really good product or service that you can sell, that we know that we can make money from, and then once that's all in place, then what we want to focus on is the traffic generation, which is the traffic generation, which is the fuel that's going to continue to drive this overall. So lots of different ways to do it, and I know it can become sort of overwhelming, it can become cumbersome, it can be confusing on, oh gosh, how do I generate traffic? What are the most important things to do? You know, what do you start with limited time and limited budgets and others? And I've actually broken it down to, so it's the three B's, like boy, 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 the three B's to break down super effective and quick traffic generation. And the way that it works is like this. The first B is building it. Building your own traffic, building your own prospects through that traffic. And really building it yourself is through what we call content marketing. You guys have heard all this. Yeah. This would be, you know, writing articles. This is creating videos. This is managing your social media, you know, SEO, hub pages, you know, content marketing, creating content, either you or your team creates the content and then submits the content and syndicates the content, right? So that's building it, building your own traffic, especially when you're not doing it yourself, you've actually got a team that's doing that for you. So that's the first B. The second B is borrowing traffic. So number one is build, number two is borrowing traffic, and borrowing traffic is through joint ventures. You know, working with other people who are in your space, who see you as an expert, they see that you've got a really strong product or service to sell, you've got your marketing funnel in place, you've got a good-looking landing page, you've got the whole process to where when a good joint venture partner sees what you have, they're going to be much more inclined to working with you and promoting you. You know, clearly you've got to have the software, you know, a joint venture tracking system, you know, whether it's Infusionsoft or Office Autopilot or One Shopping Cart or whatever the shopping cart typically that you're going to use. If you don't have that, you could always use ClickBank. ClickBank is free, a very simple system to put together as well. So it'd either be through your shopping cart or through ClickBank, but they all have the software that's going to allow you to be able to create personalized links for your joint venture partners. And then what you would do is to give them that link. You create a little copy for them to be able to send to their lists. They simply send it. You know, you make it as easy as possible for your joint venture partners so that they don't have to do the stuff on their own. You know, they're not going to go out and they're going to write their own promo emails, and they're not going to do a lot of that stuff themselves. They just don't have time. So you need to make it as simple as possible for your joint venture partners to be able to promote you, right? Creating your list of potential joint venture partners, right? Who is it that would be appropriate to market to? And then creating that link, and then, of course, sharing in the commissions of whatever it is that they're promoting. You know, I could spend hours talking about this. It's a huge topic, a very powerful topic. But the second way to borrow traffic through joint ventures, and working with other people to borrow the traffic that they've already created to sell your products or services. So that's the second B. And then the third B is through buying traffic. Right? So you've got building it yourself or with your team. You've got borrowing it through joint ventures. And then the third B is through buying traffic. And that's media buys. Probably the most powerful one right now that people are doing really well with, our clients especially, is Facebook ads. You know, creating the Facebook ads where you go out and you have your ad. You can do split testing. I mean, all kinds of cool stuff that we could do there. And it's very inexpensive in relationship to Google ads and some of these others that we've seen in the past. You know, with a good ad, you know, pay-per-click, you should be paying anywhere between, let's say, 50 cents, maybe 50 to 75 cents per click would be, again, depending on your product and depending on your niche. But something along those lines should be able to get you some really good traffic. And if done correctly and set up correctly, you can go out and you can buy instant traffic to a landing page, get them into your funnel to sell your products and services. So, you know, there's certainly pros and cons to each of these threes, you know, the building it, the borrowing, and the buying it. But if you break it down into those three categories, that really is the lion's share of where your traffic and your prospects and, of course, your income is going to come from. So if you're sort of just getting started and maybe you don't have a huge marketing budget, what I would suggest focusing on would be the first two B's. You know, building it yourself, having the team build it with you and for you is one way to get it out there immediately. Borrowing traffic through joint ventures is also a fantastic way because, you know, you don't necessarily pay them a commission. You don't pay until they actually get you a sale or a customer. So you don't have to spend money, you know, out of the gates to be able to do that. And that can get you up and get you going very quickly. Can get your name out there. Remember, developing your platform. How many people see you within your target market? They see you as an expert in what you do. So borrowing traffic is a great way to do that through JVs and through joint ventures. You just really need to have your ducks in a row, though, right? I mean, they got to have a good landing page and a funnel, and you got to be really confident about your offer before you go and you start talking with potential joint venture partners. This is a big mistake I see a lot of people happening is they'll go and they'll pick up the phone, they'll have a conversation, and then they won't have anything necessarily tangible to share with their potential joint venture partners. So you definitely, when you get on the phone and you want to start borrowing traffic or setting up a campaign to do that, you want to be able to have your landing page in place, have your funnel all worked out to know exactly how it works so that you can take somebody and show them as you're talking to them what you have in place. So that's going to build confidence in your mind. It's going to build confidence in the mind of your joint venture partner, knowing that you've got your ducks in a row. And they're going to be much more inclined to promote you. Because thing to remember also with joint venture partners is the good ones, you know, the good joint venture partners that have lists, right, they're in demand. Yeah. You know, people like David, for instance, right? You know, that people want to get on your list. You know, we want, you know, want David to mail for them. So lots of people are all over David, and you know, as David, you know, looks at the different options to promote for different people, he's going to look at a couple different things. Do they have a valuable offer? Is it something that his list would buy? Is it something that you know, is the landing page in place? Is it going to be a simple process for him just to point click and to send a link to a webinar to his list? So those are some things to think about with borrowing traffic and joint ventures is, you know, the good ones, the good people that have the good list are busy and it's competitive, so you got to have your stuff in place before you even pick up the phone and have those conversations for borrowing traffic. Buying traffic, and we'll just finish up here again, is really powerful because it's fast. You know, you can go in and set up media buys on Facebook ads, pay-per-click with Google, solo ads, you know, through lists, you know, lead list buyers and others where, you know, the people have these lists and you go in and you simply pay for them to promote to their lists with solo mm-hmm. ads. So again, you need to know what you're doing and be careful with that. It's, you know, you can lose money if you don't know the lists and the appropriate way to go about it. But if you do and you're working with a team and it's proven, again, it's a way that you can get into and promote to people immediately and to be able to generate that traffic and, of course, prospects and sales through MediaBuy.
Okay, that was great. And I love the three Bs, building, borrowing, and buying. And all of those could be outsourced, or much of that could be outsourced, is what we're getting at.
Yep. Okay. Most everything.
So yep. I've got two more questions I want to hit here before we go. I know we've only got 10 minutes, and you've been incredibly generous with your time and real patient with our technical issues. So I really appreciate it. Laura says, my problem is I'm a web developer and I love making websites. It's hard to make more dollars because there are just so many hours in a day. How would you suggest that she increase her business with that thought?
Oh, great question. You betcha. Great, great one. And this goes not for you, for Laura, but for everybody is, rather than doing the back end stuff, you know, the technical stuff like web development or traffic generation or SEO, you know, obviously these are really, you know, popular services and important services for our marketplace, but rather you being the one doing that stuff and wearing the $18 to $20 an hour money hat, what I would highly recommend is focus more on the front end of the business, which is the sales piece. So get yourself a nice website together. You know, position yourself as a web designer or a, you know, internet marketer or whatever it is, however you want to put yourself out there. But focus on everything that we talked about here, you know, the three B's. So generating your own traffic, doing JVs, doing all these other things to promote your business as a web designer or an internet marketer or an agency or whatever it is. But rather than taking your time and actually doing the work of building the sites, outsource that stuff. Outsource it on the back end. You know, we work with a lot of agencies. We work with a lot of virtual assistants, a lot of online business managers, whereas they've realized that the money isn't in the implementation because, again, there's only so much time you can have during the day, you know, wearing that money hat. Much more effective for you in this case to generate traffic to your own site, to get on the phone, to bring in new business where you could build a website for a client, and that they don't have to know that you're not the one actually doing all the work. In fact, a lot of times, most times, people don't care if you're the one doing the work or not. They just want to know that your team is going to be the one doing the work. And then so it can be very transparent. Again, we've got clients that are working with their clients. We do all the work on the back end. The website is done, it goes back to you, and then you go ahead and present it to your client as well. So again, it's keeping away from the technical stuff, the time-consuming stuff. Yeah, I know that you're creative with the website, which is great at website development, but as you're realizing now, there's very little money in it because of companies like ours where we can go out and we can train a team out of India to do it for $20 an hour. And again, it's very difficult for you to do $20 an hour of work because you only have so much time during the day. Much better for you to focus on the marketing and bringing in more clients on the front end and then having the team do the work on the back end. And then you just, you know, you mark it up. You know, you could mark it up with our price points. You could mark it up 3, 4, 5 times. The client would still be really happy. You're happy because you're not the one actually doing the website work now. You know, you've increased your income by fivefold, and our team's happy because, you know, we've got more business to do too. So it truly is a win-win all the way around. You guys, bottom line is you shouldn't be doing this technical stuff yourself. It's just too time-consuming, and time is all we have. Think again about the money hat. asking yourself, what money hat are you wearing right now? What are the things that you can do to be more productive with your time that's going to allow you to earn that, you know, $300 an hour versus $20 an hour? It's going to be a big one for you as you guys reconnect with the question, what money hat am I wearing right now? How can you be more effective with your time? How can you scale better with your time?
Okay, this last question is from Gayla. Before I get to that, though, I just saw something that came in that is... Stan is saying the minimum you talked about with your company is 25 hours a month or a week. It's a month, right?
Correct. Okay. It's a month. Yeah.
Gayla's question is, one of my main concerns with outsourcing, whether I'm the PM or I'm outsourced or I outsource that, is the budget getting out of control.
Right.
Let's see. She said a job that could take 2 hours ends up taking 20, even if I have it overseas. An outsourcer can become expensive. I think we've all run into that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's project creep.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it happens at the highest levels of corporations as well.
Oh, it certainly does. It's a big problem. And so, yes, great, great question. Thank you for that. Depending on who you hire, one of the conversations that you're going to want to have with them is making sure that, number one, everyone is really clear what the project is. So knowing exactly what it is and timelines and, you know, milestones and everything that we've talked about before. So that is really critical. And then number two is, with that in mind, getting an estimation. You know, an estimation of the time that it's going to take for a specific project or for a specific task. And the way that we do that and the way that we, you know, minimize and manage project creep for on both sides is one of the processes is when you meet with a project manager, a profit group project manager, and you have that initial strategy session, what we talk about is, you know, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What are your timelines? So we get all clear. We get out on the paper. And then what we do is we give you an estimation of what it's going to take in terms of time to create that project or to fulfill that project. So really important, again, whether it's with us or with whomever it is, that the developer that you're working with knows how long it will take them to do the project, and that they can give you an estimation or an outline of what that's going to take, and get that in writing. Really important. Rather than just coming in and saying, build me a website and let's see how it goes.
Right.
You know, that's a dangerous proposition. I mean, you could be spending thousands on something that there really could be, you know, $300 or $400, or at least it should be $300 or $400.
Okay, so Travis, this has been a ton of great information for us today, and I really appreciate you being here and walking through the outsourcing ins and outs. I feel a whole lot better about the direction of my own outsourcing, and I spend way too much money right now on outsourcing, and I have to get more focused. And I think the biggest key takeaway for me was focus on one area, outsource that, and then move to the next area.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, and have it all written down, you know, creating that plan, having the blueprint before you even start that first area. Look at the big picture and then break it down to the most important things. You know, what's going to make the biggest difference to your profitability and to your bottom line as quickly as possible so that you can get into profitability to be able to continue to not only afford your team, but then be able to expand your team so that it really does become more of a self-funding type of program. And you're not spending a whole bunch of money out of your own savings or out of your own pocket and going in circles. So really important that, again, that you get it all mapped out and you get it all on paper so you know what's going on before you even go into the first task.
So the last thing that I want to do before we go is make sure everybody goes over to nams.ws/profitgroove, not right now, but in about 15 minutes. We have an issue with that link, and Travis, I actually think it's in the Infusionsoft because I tried the raw link and it's not working as well.
Is that right? Okay, I'll check it out right away. Yeah, we'll have this link up and running for you in a few minutes.
And that link will take you to an assessment. And you can do the assessment and actually look at, and it gives you some strategic opportunities to understand where you need to outsource and how. And if you want, you can actually schedule a strategy session privately with Travis right there on that site. So there you go. Travis, I really
appreciate
you doing this.
You bet, you guys. I've had a blast. I would love to chat with you. You know, if you guys are at the place where you really do want to move your business forward and you want to get out of your own bottleneck, get out of your own way, you know, start working within your strengths more and start really enjoying your business more and start to create some pretty rapid momentum. You know, really look at where you're going and what it's going to take to get there and outline that plan. I'd love to chat with you. You know, we're offering that 30-minute consultation. We'll talk more specifically about your business and where you're bottlenecking, what's preventing you from moving forward. And I'll give you some very specific tips and tools and resources. And, you know, whether you join us or not, you know, we'll talk about your business and, you know, talk about ways that that you can really start to move that business forward quickly.
So Sheila's,
David, been awesome.
It has been great. Yeah. And other people are saying the same thing. Sheila's saying, thank you so much, Travis. And Harold says, it's a great workshop today. Thank you, guys. And Nancy said, this was really terrific information. Lute says, so clear. I feel so much better and reassured that I'm on the right track. What and when I need to do this is right here. So Mike says ditto on all that. So that's great. Travis, again, thank you so much for your time. And by the way, everybody, Travis is going to be at the NAMS 12 workshop in August teaching outsourcing. So get
awesome.
To know him.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, baby.
You bet. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.